And can I say thank you to the worship group for those songs that you've chosen tonight. That fits in exactly with what I've been thinking about. We're going to look at the character of Zechariah, since it is the... I thought, is it the first Sunday of Advent or not? It is. And I thought, has the candle been lit? And I thought, there's one dulled wick there, so you've been lighting candles this morning. I came across this little story. A man was getting ready to jump off the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco and was spotted by an evangelical Christian. The Christian rushed to him and said, "Oh, sir, please don't jump. Don't you believe in God?" "Yes, as a matter of fact, I do believe in God," the man replied. "Oh, good. I too believe in God. Tell me, are you a Jew or a Gentile?" "I'm a Gentile. I too am a Gentile." "Oh, sir, please don't jump. May I ask, are you a Christian or a Muslim?" "I'm a Christian." "This is amazing. I too am a Christian. May I ask you, are you Protestant or Catholic?" "I'm a Protestant." "Praise the Lord. I'm so glad to get to you in time. I'm a Protestant. But tell me, are you evangelical or liberal?" "I am an evangelical." "Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But do tell me, might you be Baptist or Presbyterian?" "I'm a Baptist." "This is most extraordinary. I too am a Baptist, but I'd be interested to know whether you are Southern Baptist or Independent Baptist." "I am an Independent Baptist. This is almost too good to be true," the Christian continued. "I am also an Independent Baptist. Now, do forgive me, but I must ask, are you premillennialist, an amillennialist, or a postmillennialist?" "I am a postmillennialist. This is extraordinary. It is so obvious the Lord sent me here to stop you in the nick of time from taking your life. I too am solidly a premillennialist. But could I just ask you one more question? Are you pre-tribulationist, mid-tribulationist, or post-tribulationist?" He said, "I'm a post-tribulationist. "Jump, you heretic." made me smile. You know, there may not be total agreement in the order of the second coming, and one of the songs spoke about Jesus coming again. But the first arrival of the Lord is universally accepted and celebrated. The birth of a baby. Mark became a granddad there again a few weeks ago with a little girl called Charlotte. It would be Mark's granddaughter, Eric's great niece, and I think us on the Mark's daughter-in-law's line, I think she would be our great niece, I think, or something. But it's so lovely that this baby has arrived, and a joy to the Thomas family, and all safe, little Charlotte, safe and well. And for a man called Zechariah, The announcement of fatherhood came in a far different mode than most of us who are fathers here tonight. It would be a once-in-a-lifetime experience. You know, the opportunity, the awesome wonder, and the joy, and the fear of entering into the Holy of Holies, to minister there as priest in the presence of Lord God Almighty, to burn the sweet smelling incense and the smells of the burning sacrificial lamb wafting around. Now, this might happen just once in a priest's lifetime. It was something that all priests would have hoped for, longed for, anticipated for, waited for. Oh, that the lot would fall on me. And now, for Zechariah, it's happening. You know, I wonder if Zechariah was in such awe of this expected privilege that he was so geared up that he didn't sleep much the night before, or so nervous that he couldn't eat his breakfast, or maybe there was the expectation that he'd already fasted before entering this holy place. Would he have said his goodbyes to Elizabeth that morning as he left for the week's duties? Because they knew that they were chosen this time and there would be the awesomeness of entering the Holy of Holies. That his life could end. As he said cheerio that morning, his life could end as the rope would have been tied around his ankles in order to pull his lifeless body out, if need be, away from that awesome place. Just let's look at Zechariah in Luke 1, in the time of Herod, king of Judea. There was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well on in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving a priest before God, he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. You know, there would have been at that time around 20,000 priests, and they were divided into groups of 1,000, serving the temple at a week at a time. So each priest would have served in the temple for about 2 weeks a year, and there was 1 in 1,000 chance of that lot falling on you. Such was the awesomeness of this privilege, and more chance than winning the million if you got anything in Little Ernie sort of thing. But again, it could be a lifetime with never going in to serve. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right hand of the altar. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah." Angels got that habit of saying that, haven't you? You're scared witless because you've seen this amazing. And they said, "Don't be afraid, don't be afraid. Your prayer's been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will never take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even on at birth." And the story goes on. And Zechariah said to the angel, "How can this be? For I'm an old man and my wife is well on in years." And the angel answered, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at the proper time." The pain of childlessness didn't stop them from living in faith. But I wonder if living lives that were upright, saying and doing the right expected things, the things of ritual worship, marked a disappointment in their hearts that somehow God had let them down. Outwardly righteous, but inwardly disappointed with sadness. Elizabeth shopping in the market, you know, the looks of the other women, you know, oh, poor Elizabeth, poor Elizabeth. You know, the catchphrase, you know, she knows, you know, shows my age when that was on television years ago, she knows, you know. Zechariah living with the other priests when he was on duty, did they talk man talk? Or was this a situation, a no-goer in conversation? Let's not forget that childlessness could be a ground in those days for divorce. And it always seems unfair, as in my thinking about this, it seems unfair that it's always the woman who is at fault. You know, she's barren, but it's never the man in his department, in the trouser department, you might say. I don't know. But the pain and the sadness is still real and evident in their lives. And as I said, for Zechariah, this was a once-in-a-lifetime experience, not only to burn the incense, but able to bless the worshippers as they gathered to be blessed as the priest came out of the Holy of Holies. They'd gather there for a blessing and a great privilege, just as is a privilege for you to let us in worship tonight so beautifully as well and tunefully and uplifting. And I thought about Zechariah as I stood there and the music and the instrumentalists. You know, so very, very good. Just standing waiting to be blessed from the worship. Did Zechariah expect to meet with God? He entered the Holy of Holies, carrying his disappointment and the failures, and yet fulfilled the requirement of the law, and did so as something of the pinnacle. You know, for Mark, being on the prince's trust is brilliant, but then now to be high sheriff is, he can only become Lord Lieutenant the next time sort of thing. There isn't much higher for Mark to go, but Zechariah has got to the pinnacle of his priestly servinghood. And yet, I don't know that he realized that he was going to meet with God. Yet God met him unexpectedly right at the heart of worship, a word from the heart of God to this faithful servant. You know, when we come to worship and we're all getting back again into the routines, you know, do we come really expecting to meet with God, or do we fulfill our priestly duties to come and worship? And yet God says, I want to meet with you. R.T. Kendall, who had a fantastic ministry in Westminster Chapel, a retired man now, he said that one Sunday morning he'd been ministering and leading worship, and the steward had come to give the notices and the offering was taken. And as R.T. Kendall says, he sat back to one side to allow the steward to do what he had to do. There, sitting in the congregation, was someone that had done his family much harm. And he had a moment to decide, do I forgive that person or do I carry that resentment and that hurt? This was something of God which challenged him. In a few moments, he would be again taking the pulpit and preaching the word of God. And yet, God was challenging him, do I forgive or do I harbor resent? He said, I chose to forgive that person. He didn't say what the problem was or who was it directed to, a member of his family, but he said, I chose to forgive. I met with God in such a way that morning, says this mighty man of God, that challenged my thinking on what forgiveness is all about. Lost my place. Zechariah instead of, wow, God, thank you. It's, are you sure about this? You know, I'm old, she's old. You know, the voice of unbelief would seem to trump the promise from God. The voice of unbelief seems to be all around us. You know, you listen to any recent news bulletins, and there's unbelief and even fear that is growing around us. Again, you know, they're saying we won't be shut down for Christmas, says Mr. Rajid or one of the one of our men in power and authority. And I thought, are they drip feeding us in preparation again? I don't know. We're not getting political in any shape or form, but just God's name never really mentioned. Climate change, global warming, it's all, we must do something to save our planet. Scripture reminds us that the earth is the Lord's and everything and everyone in it. Yet few, if any, positions of helpful power seem to recognize it, and I'm sweeping with big brushstrokes here. A simple lesson for us might be, do we expect to meet with God when we come into his presence? Or are we fulfilling that which we've always done, hoped for, longed for, that which was prayed for, which was about to be granted to Zechariah? And Zechariah's reply, are you sure? Are you sure? I'm old. These few words showed the level of Zechariah's unbelief. Upright in God's sight, and yet low in personal expectations. Yeah, God can't answer that prayer for me, can he? I don't know. Is that why the church today is seen to be as a harmless, toothless organization which for many has no relevance whatsoever for their lives or for their futures? Mark spoke about God's plan for every life. Churches as an agency sometimes fails, but we hold that to which is impossible with man is possible with God. As I said just now, even the angel Gabriel seems to show more enthusiasm. And what news was it that any parent would be thrilled to receive? A message how their child would turn out. His son would be a joy and a delight. His birth would bring about a celebration for many. It would be a talking point. He will know God's favor, another blessing. He will be a bold leader of Elijah's standing. And any of us here whose offspring do not yet belong to God, you know, take heart. Take heart. He hears and he knows our petitions. And I believe one day our prodigals will come home. I don't know if you've ever played charades and have tried to describe something, you know, television, play, film, book, or whatever. I wonder what Zechariah's countenance would have been as he came out and saw these horde of people just waiting. How would you describe you'd seen an angel in the presence? And I'm like David, you couldn't. Yeah, how would you describe? I guess it would have been a wordless days of joy that he finished his week's duty and then returned home. How did he communicate this to this promise to Elizabeth? You know, when he made advances to her, when they were tucked up for the night, instead of dismissing him with, you know, we're too old for that sort of thing and we're past it, had she heard in the grapevine Had she heard in the grapevine that on Monday something wonderful had happened to her husband that she loved so desperately and dearly? And such a blessing from God and such a privilege for him to have gone into Holy of Holies. What a pinnacle of his career. And yet was hope still alive in her heart, and that their prayers would be answered, God's part and man's part, woman's part. My father used to have a relative and a cousin, and I used to call this elder man uncle, just as a matter of respect, really. And uncle very much loved being in chapel and was steward and had a great singing voice and loved the Lord, and yet had his wife developed Alzheimer's and his Down syndrome son died. And I looked in to see uncle one day, and he said, Richard, my boy, why me? Why me? And I felt rather sad because he was a man that I'd always looked to. He was 6'2" and broad shoulders and great singing voice and was always in chapel and all that. But he'd lost hope. And then he lost his joy. And so morose set in. And he died a sad old gentleman who felt he had nothing anymore to be thankful for. And I felt very sad because I'd always looked up to this guy and he ended his life. And I've often thought to myself and often said, God, I never want to end up life like that. And I think of Simeon. Simeon held that little babe, didn't he? And Simeon said, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Now let your servant depart in peace. To end our lives like Simeon, full of hope that one day he would see the Messiah. And he held him. Oh man, what a privilege. That's as great a privilege as Zechariah had, to hold the Messiah in his arms. Some will say, as we come to this time of year, oh, I'm glad when Christmas is over. It's only for the children, blah, blah, blah. And, I'm going to be resolved. If anybody says that to me, I'm going to say, no, it's not just for the children. It's about God's promises to us to give us a hope and to give us a future. The gift of a son here, as I finish here, has two fulfillments. It fulfills the heart's desires, the lives of a godly couple. And in the eyes of the community and the culture, it spares their disgrace. This promise is also used to fulfill prophecy. And it's used by God in his perfect timing to fulfill his purposes as John in harmony as the forerunner of Jesus. Have we ever prayed, asked in faith, and then walked away in unbelief? Maybe that's too big of an ask for me. I'm not high sheriff. I'm just ordinary. It's too big of an ask for me. That's for the big boys, because I fall and I fail, and how can God use me? There is good news this evening. Your prayers have been, are being answered. Continue to be part of God's eternal plan, communicating his love. I think one of the songs says that we would communicate his love to our neighbors just now. Communicating his love, Mark's desire as High Sheriff, with faithfulness and with the grace of who we are and whose we are. So we keep praying. We keep trusting. We keep going. We keep meeting. We keep listening. We keep serving. And we keep expectant, because God is God. And Paul writes, and now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. My blows your brains out, doesn't it? That God is able to do more than all we ask or imagine. According to his power at work, it's within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and forever. Let's just pray together and then we'll conclude. Father, thank you for your word and thank you for your promises revealed in your word. Not just a great man like Zechariah, an ordinary man who was serving you. And yet you had a mighty, beautiful surprise for him when he was within your presence. Father, we pray for those that tonight that are struggling with family and relationships, for those that might be struggling with finance, struggling with ill health, those that are grieving. We pray again, O God of the surprise, that you'll just minister into the hearts and needs of these dear folks who have a special need.